Welcome to CBJ in 30.
I'm sure this will be a real bonding experience. Maybe one day, one of you will even write a book about it in jail.
You give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you all you want to know about your Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Now, here's your host, who has a few opinions of his own.
Well, Lottie frickin' duh!
Bob McGilligan.
Just another manic Monday. Wish it was Sunday. That's my fun day. I don't have to run day. Just another manic Monday. Wish it was Sunday. That's my fun day. Just another manic Monday.
Yes, indeed. It is another manic Monday. What with the practice today and then the Blue Jackets boarding a plane this afternoon and heading to Pittsburgh, where they will take on the Penguins tomorrow night in what very possibly could be a preview of what we're going to see next week, a first-round playoff matchup between the Blue Jackets and the Penguins. It is really starting to look that way. Welcome to a Monday mailbag edition of CBJ in 30, the final Monday mailbag of the regular season, as a matter of fact. I'm Bob McElligott, and I will answer your questions coming up here in just a bit. But first, let's talk about what happened yesterday. 3-2, Blue Jackets lose to the Washington Capitals, and I will admit to you fully that I was mad. I was not happy with the way the Blue Jackets fell behind in that game, how they fell behind, how quickly they fell behind in the second period, and it was very, very disappointing. However, we'll put it all into perspective here in just a couple of minutes, and you'll hear from John Tortorella. I'm going to play for you his post-game press conference from yesterday, and listen to his tone and listen to the things that he has to say. But the Blue Jackets get through the first period unscathed, 0-0 the score. You go into the second period and make somewhat of a small mistake and allow TJ Oshie to come down the ice. And then I felt that the Blue Jackets defensively started guessing when Oshie came off the wall on the right wing side and started to cut toward the middle of the ice. And not to take anything away from him, he had a wicked backhand shot that he put in the upper left-hand corner. It was a very good shot, and all of a sudden it was a 1-0 game. And then a short time later, Andrei Burakovsky, again, speaking of a good shot, Sergei Bobrovsky's job there is to cover the near post. He's got to tuck his body up against the post. They teach it that way to lodge the body in there against the post, take away the low shot. The only problem is when you get into that position, you lean forward just a little bit and there is a sliver of room above the shoulder and below the crossbar. And that is exactly the spot that Burakovsky hit. I mean, that's a sniper's goal right there. And he sniped it and it was 2-0. And I felt like the Blue Jackets were stunned at that point, that they were reeling as soon as it went to 2-0, they didn't see that coming. And all of a sudden, they're reeling a little bit. And then Jack Johnson makes a rare mistake and turns the puck over that the Capitals take down the ice. They feed it to Matt Niskanen right between the circles, and it's 3-0. And then there doesn't seem to be much of a response by the Blue Jackets. The energy was sucked out of the building. The crowd was quiet. There was very little going on until the third period. Zach Werenski takes a big hit from Alex Ovechkin. And it's a hit that, you know, some will say that it wasn't a clean hit. Others say it is a clean hit. John Tortorella will talk about that, too, here in just a minute. And he leaves the game, Werenski. He ends up leaving the game. Now, he took numerous hits yesterday. The Capitals were all over him as far as trying to put the body on him. Now, that is the way that the game is played. I hate to tell you. You know, when the Blue Jackets play against Chris Letang, don't you like to see Chris Letang get thumped a couple of times, maybe get knocked off his game a little bit, maybe not be as effective as he can be on the back end? Absolutely, positively. So that's just the way it is. Now, for Werenski, he's going to have to learn how to weather the storm and go through the wear and tear, get his body out of the way a little bit more. But he's 19. He's playing in his first NHL season, and here we go down the stretch with the playoffs coming up in a week. And the games are getting more intense and more physical, and he's got to learn. And sometimes the lessons learned are going to be learned the hard way. So he takes the hit from Ovechkin. He leaves the game. The Blue Jackets are left with 5 defensemen. And then all of a sudden, they get a spark. And then Jack Johnson really gives them a spark by getting a puck, coming in. And all the years I've watched Jack Johnson play for this team, I've never seen him make the moves that he made coming through on that goal. Little toe drag, gets around Tom Wilson, beats Braden Holtby low on the glove side. I mean, it was a thing of beauty, that goal that he scored. And afterwards, he told me that he felt that he owed it to the team because he made that turnover that resulted in the third goal. So he got that one back. So it was 3-1, and then there was some energy. And then the scrums began, the piling up in the goal creases, the pushing, the shoving, the Josh Anderson grabbing a hold of Alex Ovechkin over near the benches, and Sergei Bobrovsky going into the fray and being shooed out by the referee, Braden Holtby coming out of his crease all the way up to the blue line as though he was going to come and get involved as well. All of that began, but there was energy again. There was noise in the building, and there was that it was really tangible how the excitement had cranked up. And then it really cranked up with just under 4.5 minutes left when Kyle Quincy blasted in the Blue Jackets' second goal, and now they're to within one. But the problem is they were within one against a team that last year won the President's Trophy, against the second-best goaltender in the league, and the Washington Capitals were able to hold them off last night. But it wasn't, you know, they didn't roll over. They didn't completely roll over. They lost arguably their best player outside of Sergei Bobrovsky, and they didn't roll over. They fought back. They got into the game, but they did fall short, just like against Chicago in the previous game. Not the same game. Chicago was more free-flowing and less physical. Even though it was physical, it was less physical. But it was two playoff-type games that the Blue Jackets came out on the short end of the stick. So it was disappointing. You really wanted to close that gap to 2 points on the Washington Capitals. Now it's six. Now it's likely over, catching them. Now you've got to concentrate on making sure you get home ice advantage in the first round against Pittsburgh. And in the meantime, the Penguins, with their win over the Carolina Hurricanes yesterday, past the Blue Jackets, and they sit in second place, so they have home ice. So this game tomorrow has a lot of focus on it to decide who's going to open the playoffs in their particular city. And that's not even a given, because the Blue Jackets still have 3 games after that, and so do the Penguins. But you get that last head-to-head matchup. You have a chance to control your own destiny and get in front of them and go into the final 3 games being able to figure it out for yourself, not to rely on other teams to knock off somebody else for you. So that's where they stand coming into today. And as I said, John Tortorella, after the game, talked to the media. He always does. But I want you to listen to his tone and imagine if this was game 50, what he would have said. Instead, listen to what he says, how he says it, and then we'll talk about his approach to this whole thing right after he's done.
The resolve you showed in the third period or disappointed in your first 2 periods of play?
No, I wasn't disappointed in the first 2 periods. The first period, they played as a team that played lousy their last game. I think some of it was self-inflicted by us with some turnovers. But the second period, I mean, we developed 10 scoring chances in the second period. We had a ton of odd man rushes, and we just couldn't score. Holtby played very well. So I'll give you 10 minutes in the first period, but then second period, I wasn't disappointed in it.
John, you speak frequently of pushing back. Were you satisfied with the level of pushback, not just with the scrums and whatnot, but the way you responded?
I don't think we were physical enough in that first period. But as the game went on, yeah, I thought we handled the Blues really good. I just thought they had more jump than us in the first period in all facets of the game, and we turned some over. Kind of self-inflicted, but they're a good team. They developed some scoring chances. We had a lot of almost in the first period. Second period, we had chances to score. I thought Holtby was outstanding.
John, what was your view of the Ovechkin hit on Zach Werenski?
It's a hit.
Yes. They were going after him on that shift in particular. Not I'm saying they were targeting him, but they certainly bounced him around a bit. Is that something that he's got to learn to be prepared for and respond to? And lastly, is he physically okay?
I think that's the way they play. That's a different team than Chicago, and that's part of the life of a defenseman. You can't hold up in the league, and the body checking is part of it. Were they targeting him? I don't. You have to ask them. I don't look at it that way. That's part of the game. And as far as his health, I have not talked to the trainers yet.
John, obviously nothing cemented yet, but it certainly looks more and more like it'll be you guys in Pittsburgh in the first round. Does that change the approach at all for Tuesday night's game, knowing it?
No. No, we're going to try to win Pittsburgh. Nothing changes the approach.
Coach, two defensemen obviously scoring tonight again, and you've mentioned the offensive, kind of low right there. You're still seeing it. I mean, what's going on? I know you can't figure it out, obviously, yeah. But, I mean, what's going on there?
Well, I think the last two games, we developed, 17 scoring chances tonight. We had 17 last night. That's a lot of chances within the game. We just haven't finished. Second period, I think we had 6 odd man rushes, didn't finish. So I think in the last couple of games we've developed more offense, but we just haven't scored. It's tough to win when you're scoring that one goal and two goals, and we really haven't had to live through that much this year, other than of late. So we have got to continue to try to play defense. I thought in the first period we lost ourselves a little bit with their quickness. Gathered ourselves as far as defending throughout most of the game after that. We can't lose that. We can't cheat and look to gain offense that way. Tonight it's a state of finishing, because I thought we had enough chances to score some goals.
John, when you see Sergei in a scrum like he was tonight, I know he wasn't throwing punches and didn't get a punch thrown at him, but when you see him there in that area, is that part of the pushback you talk about, or is that a heart in your throat kind of moment
for
the coach?
Yeah. Throw a shot. They're in there. Throw a shot. No, that's part of the game. That's the problem. When there's some hitting and there's some scrums, it's like, holy crap, what's going on with this game? That's what's happened to our game. To me, there's not enough of it. If Bob's in there, hope he was getting involved. Bob should get involved. And, yeah, that doesn't bother me. Was I nervous? Absolutely not.
As tough as these last couple of games have been, how big of a wake-up call and an important wake-up call for you is this? Nothing replicates the playoffs like the playoffs, but these games have been pretty close against high-caliber teams, Chicago, Washington.
You mean how good the teams are?
Yes.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I know we don't get the results the last couple of games, but other than the 10 minutes in that first period, the last couple of games, I've liked our minutes. And we have got to continue to battle through these games this week. We've got a lot of hockey to play still, and be ready for the tempo of the game. Be ready for those scrums in the blue, and not get overly anxious about it. I trust the team. I trust the team that will be ready. I'm hoping they feel better about themselves offensively in the next few games here. Maybe some good things happen. And we'll go from there. Okay, thanks, guys.
Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella after yesterday's 3-2 loss to the Washington Capitals. And I told you to listen to his tone. Now, imagine if this was game 50 and what he would be saying about this game. It would be completely different. I was sitting with Jody Shelley yesterday. We were doing our post-game show, and we're listening to him talk, and Jody looked at me and he said, he's in playoff mode. He's in total playoff mode. Listen to him. He's praising the opposition. He's not beating up his own team. He's picking up his own team. He's in the playoff mindset, and that's where he's going. And I think that that's absolutely right. And Jody would know, because Jody's been in the room with John Tortorella as a player with the New York Rangers. So he knows. He's in tune to what's going on, especially with that guy. And I think he's absolutely right. You know, in these games, they're losing the games, but he keeps talking about their scoring chances, that they're playing the right way, that they're basically right there. They're just snake bitten when it comes to scoring. He's not hammering them. He's not on them. He's not riding them hard, because he knows that if he does that, you could almost lose them before the playoffs. He doesn't want them to feel downtrodden and beaten before the playoffs begin. And so you hear how his tone has changed and his approach. And yes, he wants home ice in the first round, for sure. There's no doubt of that. But he wants to make sure that his team is in the right mental frame of mind when they get to next week. That's what is really important. And you can hear it. You can just hear it by the way that he's talking about that. He didn't, when he was asked about the hit of Ovechkin on Werenski, that's a hit. It's not a problem with him. He's not making any waves. You know, he saw it as a good physical hit. He misses, you can hear it every time he talks about it, he misses the physical play that used to be in this league and is not anymore. Heck, you heard him say about Sergei Bobrovsky, go ahead and take a shot. And, you know, here's another funny thing. Bobrovsky, after the game, saying that if Holtby wanted to fight, he's ready, which I was shocked to hear that coming from Sergei Bobrovsky, to be quite honest with you. Shocked in a great way, because that's got to be the mindset. It may never happen, probably won't ever happen, but it has got to be the mindset. So 3-2 is the final. Blue Jackets have to focus on tomorrow and try to get back in front of the Pittsburgh Penguins. That is the bottom line. Well, as I told you before, this is the final Monday mailbag edition of the regular season. So let's find out what's on your mind.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
Your questions are sent to me via Twitter at Bobby Mag Sports. Let's start off with Rebecca Needham, who says, how many Blue Jackets franchise records were broken this season? Is that a record in itself? Well, let's see. Most wins in a season, most points in a season, longest winning streak, most wins for a goaltender. Those four for sure off the top of my head. Is that a record in itself? Yeah, you break four franchise records for sure. And there's another one they're close to, and that is the number of goals by defensemen. Brian Berard had 12. Right now, Zach Werenski and Seth Jones have 11. So will Werenski get a chance to break that? I don't know. We'll have to see when we get to the rink today for practice if Zach Werenski is practicing or if he's going to be out. And if he is it going to be for a short time or is it going to be for a long time? So, Rebecca, off the top of my head, those are the franchise records that have been broken by this team already. Uber CBJ fan says, why, when there are multiple penalties, it seems like they don't all get factored in and there ends up being a power play for one team? Well, because usually, to be honest with you, somebody starts it, okay? Or maybe the initial altercation, they were going to let it go, and then somebody else jumps in and starts something else. And I think that's the case with Josh Anderson yesterday. Hartnell and Ovechkin were together, and then that was being policed. That was being taken care of, and all of a sudden Josh Anderson comes in and stirs it all up again. So where it would be very easy from your view and my view a lot of times just to say, okay, these two guys go to the box and it's even up. The real truth of the matter is many times somebody has reignited things and probably deserves an extra penalty. So that's why in most cases that there is an extra penalty, because somebody started it. They either, you know, they either started the initial thing and they're being penalized, or the initial thing was taken care of and they start the secondary thing, and there you go. So that's my answer to that. Joshua Paul L. says, after tonight's game, he sent this yesterday, after tonight's game, do you think it will be like Detroit-Colorado rivalry in the 90s? This was more than Pittsburgh. This feels like a rivalry that will have a lot of bad blood. Also, do you think this was the spark they needed? Do you think that this will be a good playoff matchup? I sure do. I don't think anything is going to be Detroit-Colorado of the 1990s. I mean, that was a bloodbath. That literally was a bloodbath. What happened between the Blue Jackets and the Capitals, I don't know if it happens again. I guess if they play in a playoff series, it would. But it's still, I don't see it beating out the Penguins rivalry today. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't see it beating out the rivalry with the Penguins right now. Because, you know what, that the way it ended was one thing. If it would have been that way the entire way through, then that might be different. But you do have a good point. You do have a good point, Joshua, that maybe if these two teams do wind up playing each other in the playoffs, and you know, it appears that it would have to go to the second round for that to happen. But if they do play against each other, maybe these things will renew themselves, and it will be a very interesting scenario. We'll have to wait and see. But I think that was just one game. I didn't get the rivalry feel. I really didn't. I just think it was because it was a really, really important game. But if they end up hooking up in a playoff series, maybe there is something that develops out of it. Crunchy Granola says, curious what your take is on the NHL's testing policy, particularly not including HGH within their scope. Distract the fans from the weak power play. That's a nice try for distraction, but I'm not even up on the testing stuff. I don't care. I don't think there are any big-time cheaters, anything that's going on in this sport. So it is, it's of non-concern for me, but I do appreciate you trying to make the distraction from the power play. And that's a smart move, because that power play can gain a lot of attention for how weak it is right now. Gary Weinheimer says, should we be worried about this team topping out at 2 goals per game since clinching, empty netters excluded? Yes and no, Gary, and I'm stuck on that, to be honest with you. I'm stuck on that because I'm worried about it, but then you hear John Tortorella talk, and he doesn't seem to be as worried about it. There is a big letdown after you clinch. You're waiting for something meaningful to play for once again. And even though you're going to counter with the argument of, well, these games were meaningful, you had a chance to get the lead to 2, and now it's 6, and all that stuff. Yeah, but it's still not a playoff game. And guys, I think, are trying to, you know, keep from getting hurt, although they may not have avoided that yesterday. I just think it's different. I think they're ready. They are so waiting for the next step, and you're just kind of getting through what you have to get through until that next step comes. So I'm worried about it, but I don't think they're as worried about it. They feel that they can score when the time is right. So I hope they're right. If they're right, that's all that matters. I was worried about them going into the 5-day break, and they came out and put me to shame. So it's hard for me to sit here now and really disparage them and say that there are big, big problems, because they showed the ability to turn it around last time. They came out of the break and scored 7 against the Islanders, remember? So I'm going to trust them. That's what John Tortorella says. I trust the team, and I guess I will just adopt that saying, and I trust them. Lois Graham says, after President's Cup, what determines home ice advantage for the rest of the playoffs? Wins, goal differential? It's simple as this. Let me put it to you this way. First round of the playoffs, let's say it's Washington and the wild card team, whoever it's going to be, and I don't even know anymore. It's changing every day. Washington and the wild card team, and let's just say, to be positive here, that the Blue Jackets finish ahead of the Penguins in the 2 slot, and then the results come down where the wild card team beats the Capitals and then the Blue Jackets beat the Penguins. Now the Blue Jackets are the highest seed remaining and have the most points, so they would get home ice throughout the rest of the Eastern Conference playoffs. But when it comes to the Stanley Cup final, if the Chicago Blackhawks have more points, it all goes by points in the seeding is what it is. Okay, you understand? So if Washington's out and the Blue Jackets finish 2nd, then they're next in line for the home ice the rest of the way through the East, not necessarily in the West. It'll come down to points. So Chicago, if they finish the season with more points than the Blue Jackets and both teams get to the Stanley Cup final, then it would be Chicago that would have the home ice. Jason R. says, I was happy to hear about David Clarkson being a local coach and wondered if he's still connected with the Blue Jackets given his situation. Well, sure, he's connected with the Blue Jackets. He's still getting paid. He's unable to play. He's been an assistant coach at Upper Arlington High School this year, and the word on the street is, with their head coach leaving, that he's going to take over that program, and I think that's great. I think that more NHL guys need to get involved in the youth programs and the high school programs, and I'll tell you for sure right now, and my son just started playing high school in Central Ohio this year, and it'll be great when there are more coaches with more experience to choose from, and that's not to make a knock on the coaches that are here, but the talent pool in coaching is shallow. I'm telling you right now because we're looking for one. Our school's looking for a coach, and there's only so many with experience, and then really good experience, it really shrinks tremendously. So I think it's great that he's doing that. I would have liked to sign him up, quite frankly, but he's working with a group of kids he's already familiar with and in the community he lives, so that's great. But, I mean, of course he's still affiliated with the Blue Jackets because even though he can't play, he's still on the payroll, quite honestly. But other than that, he hasn't been around. And, I feel bad for him that he can't play, but I feel really good for him that he's taking his talents and he's going to try to help others by using his talents. So that's a good thing. So good for David Clarkson on that. J-Dub says, what kind of impact will a Werenski-less playoffs have? Who will need to step up in order to fill that void if this happens? I don't know if anybody can fill that void. Nobody can fill it 100%. But who will have to step up? To me, Kyle Quincy will have to step up. I don't think you want to take away the Johnson selection. I would see Quincy being elevated to play with Seth Jones. I think we saw that a couple times yesterday. And then that would leave you Harrington and Nudavara. So Nudavara would really have to elevate his play too. Rookie defenseman playing in the playoffs. But you're going to lose your power play quarterback. You're going to lose a guy that logs a ton of minutes and a guy that is just calm with the puck every time he has it. So my fingers are crossed that that's not a serious injury. Aaron Portsline tweeted last night that he was told there are no broken bones, and that's a good thing, but that's not the be-all, end-all. Sometimes there are other things that are worse than broken bones. So, again, until there's a report, we don't know. And, I hate to be – the way I live life is I expect the worst and hope for the best. Is that the right way to put it? I mean, I always think that it's going to be terrible. And then when it's not terrible, then I'm pleasantly surprised is what I'm trying to say. I don't know if I said it that way the first time, but, I tend to be negative about it. I should change. I should be more positive about it. So let's be more positive and say that Werenski will be playing in the playoffs. But we'll just wait for the doctor's report to find out. Ryan Kuhn says, do you think tomorrow against the Penguins will be more physical than yesterday against the Capitals? No, I don't think so. But we'll have to wait and see how it all works out, but I think it's going to be hard pressed to be more physical than the Capitals game was. Jason Messick, would the Blue Jackets go off script and bring up Gabriel Carlson if Werenski can't go the rest of the season? No, Jason, I don't see that happening. Gabriel Carlson, also a first round pick. He just came over and is playing in Cleveland. He was playing in Europe. He's making the adjustment from the European ice to the North American ice. It's a smaller ice surface here. I think to ask a guy to make that kind of an adjustment in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs would be way too much to ask. Way too much. I do not see that happening at all. They would go, to me, in my opinion, they would go with an older defenseman that has experience and has played a long time in North America, be it the NHL or the AHL. They would do that before they put that kid in that kind of a situation. I just do not see that happening whatsoever. Kurt Diekman says, so this mini slump, how much is post-clinching tinkering in prep and how much is legit hit the panic button worry? Again, Kurt, I don't know. I'm sitting there with my finger above the panic button, but it might not be what it seems to be to you and me, to be honest with you. Next week, they could be, mopping up the opposition. They could be up 2-0, and Wall looks silly for panicking this week. So again, let's trust them. Let's let them show us what it is. They'll show us by their play. They'll show us exactly what it is. By the first round of the playoffs next week, 2 games in, we'll be able to come back and say we should have panicked today or we should have trusted them today. I mean, that doesn't help you in the answer to the question because, well, there is no answer until they show us. So it's going to be a hindsight 2020 question come next week. I'll guarantee you that. Well, not next Monday, but by the end of next week is when it'll be that. Brandy Schwab, please explain the defensive responsibilities of centers that wingers don't have. Well, the center has to take care of the entire middle of the ice, and that's where everything happens, right? For the wingers, they're concentrating on the guys on the boards, whereas the centermen, when those guys come off the boards, they're responsible for that. They're responsible for the other center. They're responsible for the defenseman jumping into the play. They've got to take care of the entire middle of the ice. So that's why there's a lot more defensive responsibility on their shoulders than there is for the wingers. Jen MW says, will there be any break between the last game on Sunday and when the playoffs start? I would imagine Monday will be a day off, Tuesday will be a practice day, and Wednesday the playoffs will start. That's what I'm guessing. I don't have a schedule. I don't know, but it will be minimal. They'll get right to it. It's not going to be a long break by any means. They are going to get right to it. Tyler Shockey says, Why do the Blue Jackets not come out to Rough Riders Anthem for the third period on Sunday games? Why do they not come out to Rough Riders Anthem for the third period on Sunday games? I don't know. I can pass the question along. Who knows if they're going to have any more Sunday games? I imagine they will, but I can pass it along. I don't know. I don't make those decisions. I got out of that business a long time ago. There was a day when I used to decide what music was played in the building. Long, long time ago in a baseball stadium, pretty far away. But those days are over. So I just listen and enjoy, just like you. And now, just as I'm about to wrap up today's show, we've got breaking news. The Blue Jackets have just announced that they have recalled forward Sonny Milano from the Cleveland Monsters. He had 16 goals, 27 assists for a total of 43 points and 20 penalty minutes in 59 games with the Monsters this season. Of course, he's the Blue Jackets' first-round pick, 16th overall in the 2014 entry draft. So Sonny Milano is coming back up. That might mean somebody is going to get a day off, perhaps. Might mean Sonny's just going to come up and observe. We'll have to wait and see. Aaron Portsline also tweeted earlier today that Oliver Bjorkstrand was expected back at practice today with the Blue Jackets, so that's a good sign. But Sonny Milano is on his way, so we'll see if he plays or if he's just here to be an observer. I would imagine he's going to play. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow, but I would imagine they'll probably give him a game or two and maybe give somebody just a breather. Now that there's that six-point gap between the Blue Jackets and the Washington Capitals, maybe after the Pittsburgh game, maybe they go into Pittsburgh and win and get a chance to give somebody a breather. We'll have to wait and see. But I just wanted to make you aware that Sonny Milano is on his way back down I-71 to join the Blue Jackets. Thanks for your questions once again today. Good ones, as always. And when we do this next week, we'll be looking toward the playoffs for real. They will be just days away, and we'll have the regular season in the rearview mirror. But some big games this week. Tomorrow's is the biggest. Blue Jackets in Pittsburgh trying to secure home ice, going head-to-head against the Penguins. Then you've got the Thursday game at home against the Winnipeg Jets, final home game of the regular season, and then to Philly on Saturday and Toronto on Sunday. So let's get through this week. Let's enjoy some good hockey, and then we can get to the real stuff next week. Should be great. Tomorrow, I'll have a game day edition of CBJ in 30. Until then, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.